Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading, and we're going to be focusing specifically on verse 18. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to gather and hear the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word so that our faith is strong and that our love overflows. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Yes, one more time we get to say that. Well, actually, later on we'll say it one more time. But this is the last Sunday of Easter. And so we are finishing up our series, Resurrection Encounters. And in order to finish it up, we start off with this question. Have you ever misunderstood what someone is saying? And not because you didn't hear them, but simply because of the words that they used. You know, words have multiple meanings, and when we use them, we have to actually determine what the meanings are so that we understand what impact the speaker is hoping to have on us. So take, for example, the word nail, right? Nail can mean this thing, or nail can mean a, you know, little sharp pointy thing that you hammer together. Now, if someone actually says to you, hey, hammer the nail, well, that can mean the difference between completing a project or going to the ER. Or take the word squash, for example. You know, squash as a noun can mean those kind of hard gourds that you roast and carve out and serve during Thanksgiving dinner. But squash is actually also a game, a racket game, where you hit a small rubber ball with a racket in an enclosed space. So if someone says to you, hey, let's play squash, that doesn't mean that you're going to pick up these hard gourds and throw them at each other. Speaking of racket, how about the word racket? A racket can mean, you know, you have a handle here and a little kind of oval shape with some string in there. But racket can also mean a very loud sound, a lot of noise. So if someone says to you, hey, cut the racket, well, that either means turn down the volume or it means ruining your $350 brand new racket. You see what I'm talking about? We have to determine the meaning of the words. So today is our final resurrection encounter. And we encounter the risen Christ in the world. Now, in John's gospel, world has multiple meanings, and each one has its own impact. And we see this more clearly than in John chapter 17, which is called Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's where he is praying for you and for me, praying to his heavenly Father on our behalf. And actually, within chapter 17, the word world is used 19 times. So it kind of helps to unpack some of the meanings of this word world in order to truly understand what Jesus is praying for here. So the first meaning I want to share with you is that the world simply means the physical creation. You know, the trees, everything else that you and I are living in and that we are still living in today. We still live in the world, right? But then the second meaning is the world is that which hates God, hates Jesus, and hates his disciples, his followers. You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, that's you and me, we don't oppose Jesus. No, we actually love Jesus. We don't battle against him, we trust in Jesus. You see, we are not like the world in that we seek to do evil. No, As his followers, we seek to do good. That's because we're not dead like the world is. We are alive in Christ. But see, the world opposes all of this. The world battles against God and Jesus and you and me. And that's why they hate us. The world hates that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. The world hates that unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The world absolutely hates to be told this fact, that they are slaves to sin and that only the Son can set them free. But here's the thing. Jesus actually says here, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So the meaning that Jesus says here, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, he is talking about that first use, the physical creation, the world that we still live in, and yet the world that is still evil and sinful and fallen and opposed to you and me. I don't know about you, but that's hard. It's hard to hear that Jesus is actually praying, don't take them out, Father, keep them in here. It's hard because what do we do? What do we do with a world that attacks us and opposes us? Well, author James Davison Hunter, in his I highly recommend book, To Change the World, he actually offers what he sees as three typical responses to this challenging situation. And I want to go through them just very briefly. The first one is defense against the world. That's where the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we need to defend ourselves as God's people while at the same time taking back the ground that we've lost. And we're going to do it with a 1-2 punch of sharing the good news of Jesus to individuals while digging into the trenches of everyday societal issues and evils and ills and doing whatever we can to take them back. And yet so often, this becomes a paradox. It's kind of hard to tell the world, hey, Jesus really loves you, while at the same time beating them up because of their sin. And so he goes on to say there's another response to the world, and that's relevant too. That's where we seek to connect with the world, to meet them where they're at, to make Jesus relevant to their lives. And yet so often in doing this, lines become blurred. As God's people, we start to lose our distinctiveness as God's people, and we end up discovering that the world doesn't hate us any longer. And then there is the third option that's called purity from. And this is the position taken by the recent controversial book, The Benedict Option. It means that the world is so evil, so sinful, and that it can't be redeemed. So, you know what? We just need to circle the wagons, we're going to build up our walls, and we're going to focus on us. Focus on our faith, our life together. And yet so often with this response, we become so inwardly focused, so desirous to protect ourselves, that we end up just leaving the world without any hope that comes only through Jesus Christ. The thought that Jesus actually prays to keep us in this world, it can scare us. It can scare us because the world hates us, opposes us, and we don't know what to do. But that's why Jesus goes on to pray, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." The world hates you, brothers and sisters in Christ, because you have been called out of the world in Jesus Christ. Yeah, you've been called out. You have been called out of this world into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. You once were of this world. You once were of sin and death and evil and opposing and hating God yourself, but now you are not of this world because God's name has been placed upon you in baptism. It's true. When you were baptized, united in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light in Jesus Christ. You are not of this world because God keeps you in his name. And he does it through the sanctifying word of truth. Just as he prays here, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Every time you hear that word of truth, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that Jesus died for your sin and rose to give you eternal life, God keeps you in his name. You are not of this world. You are not of this world because you are protected from the evil one through faith in Jesus Christ. He may shoot fiery arrows at you. He may accuse you. He may attack you every second of your life. But in Christ, he's already defeated. He's already done. You're his. You are Christ's because he is praying for you. And I hope you notice, brothers and sisters in Christ, that this prayer that Jesus is praying has already been answered. It's already been answered because Jesus was sent into the world to live in the flesh among this sinful, fallen world. He was sent into the world to die on the cross for the world that hated him. And he was sent into this world to rise again to call you and me into the kingdom of light. And Jesus continues to pray for us even now. Not only because we are still in this world, but because we are sent into this world. Just as he continues to pray, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is actually a third meaning of the word world in John's gospel. It's the object of God's love and his grace in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. This world that hates God is the same world that God loves, that God cares for, that God wants them to know the truth and the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's why he sends you and me into this world. And what does it look like being sent into this world? Well, let me give you an example. There's a man named Jeff Tanzella who lives in the San Diego area. And Jeff used to be a skinhead. He used to be a gang member, covered in tattoos, and all he knew was breaking the law, violence, theft, pretty much anarchy. One day, Jeff got arrested. And in prison, He started going to a Bible study put on by the prison chaplain. And it was there that Jeff was called out of this dark, evil world and into the light of Christ when he was baptized and believed in Jesus. And what did Jeff do? What did he do with his newfound faith in Jesus? When he was released from prison, he became a pastor and a missionary in the San Diego area, going directly back into the gangs that he left to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to them. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't need to defend ourselves from the world by attacking it. We don't need to be relevant to it in order to reach the world. We don't need to purify ourselves by separating ourselves from the world. No. We get to be sent into the world. Sent into life's places and spaces. Sent into every nook and cranny of this world. Wherever you work, wherever you go to school, to homes, neighborhoods, restaurants, coffee shops, places you go on vacation, even a sidewalk that you're walking down. Wherever God sends you is where you are sent into the world. And it is there that you get to share the sanctifying word of truth of Jesus Christ. Who he is, what he has done, and who he has done it for. And it is there, right there, that the world meets the resurrected Christ, calling them out of the darkness, calling them into his kingdom, calling them by his grace and his love alone. It's kind of hard to misunderstand what Jesus is praying for here, because the meaning is quite clear. Jesus says to you and me, I have called you out of the world so that I may send you back into it with my grace and my love for all of it. This is my prayer, and I pray it is your prayer too. Amen.